Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
There's a pattern to this Pelicans free agency. We're going to talk about how Langston Galloway fits in on this episode of Locked On Pelicans. I'm Brett Dawson.
I just thought that it was the best decision for me and my family. We knew that this is going into my third year, and we wanted to really just I guess you say see the best option for all of us going forward, and especially with the roster and the guys that's coming back. I think it's going to be definitely a huge part of me being a part of it.
That was Langston Galloway. This is Locked On Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, and I am Brett Dawson. I cover the Pelicans for the New Orleans Advocate. This episode, obviously, is all about Langston Galloway, the Baton Rouge native, who's coming home to play for the Pelicans. What you heard at the top was a snippet of a phone interview I did with him from Los Angeles. He was in L.A. working with his trainer, and I was in New Orleans. You can read the story that came out of that interview at theadvocate.com or in a printed copy of The Advocate on Thursday. We're mostly going to talk with Jared Dubin, the host of Locked On Knicks, also a part of this podcast network, who has some really good insights into Langston Galloway. He covered the Knicks. He has a really good podcast. He had some really interesting things to say about him, and we're going to get to that in just a few minutes. But I want to talk a little bit about chatting with Galloway and a little bit about how he fits. He's the first of these free agent commitments who I've actually talked to, and there's a little bit of significance there because I think we've all suspected some things about the Pelicans free agency, but he confirmed some of those things in talking to him. He told me that the Pelicans said they were looking for high character guys, guys who play defense, and they're really looking to build this team around defense. He said they want guys who play defense as powerfully as they can, and that's really going to be the foundation of this particular team. That's a big change from last year, obviously. Much more offensive-minded guys, Ryan Anderson, Eric Gordon. But I think it's pretty clear that that was the direction they wanted to go around Anthony Davis and Jrue Holiday and now Buddy Hield. They wanted to add some more versatile defensive guys around them. And with Solomon Hill and Etuan Moore and now Langston Galloway, I think that's what you've seen. You talk to people about these three guys, these three free agents, Hill, Moore, Galloway, and what you hear is, you know, versatile wing defender, hard worker, effort guy, energy, good locker room guy. Langston Galloway very much, I think, kind of fits into that mold. He's also been a pretty good scorer. His rookie year with the Knicks when they were pretty limited personnel-wise, they had some injuries. He got to play a lot. He averaged more than 11 points a game. His numbers were down a little bit this past season. But look, he's a good backup guard. He can play both positions. He can defend both guard positions. He can knock down an open three-pointer. He's a little streaky. He started off this year just incredibly well from three-point range. We'll get into that with Jared. And he can initiate some offense. I don't think you want him to be your primary ball handler, as Jared's going to talk about here in a few minutes. But he is a guy who can do that stuff if need be. We are going to talk to Jared quite a bit about him. He covers the Knicks, as I said, and he hosts Locked On Knicks here on the Locked On Podcast Network. That's a really good podcast. If you have any interest in the Knicks, definitely check it out. And you can follow Jared at JADubin5 on Twitter. And before we get to that, I do want to give you just a couple of notes, a few little notes about this interview. First, there were some people who said the volume levels were off on the interview I did with Cody Westerlund this week. I think I got that fixed. We'll see. You'll be the judge of that. Second, the Galloway news was still kind of unfolding as I was talking to Jared. We had a pretty limited window where we could both talk. And so as I was talking to him, I was getting some text messages, and there might be a couple of times where I seem a little distracted, and I might seem to sort of ask the same question twice. I don't think I was totally doing that, but it probably came across that way. So that's my fault. I apologize for that. And finally, there were some parts of the interview, some parts where the connection is really good, and there were a couple spots where it's really bad. And I was going to leave in everything Jared said with it kind of cutting in and out, but I sort of hate that in podcasts. I find it really distracting. It makes me want to stop listening. And so what I did is try to do a little bit of editing. That resulted in cutting out a few parts of his answers. So I hope everything turned out to make perfect sense. I think it makes enough sense. I don't think it'll be too distracting. And I hope the cuts aren't really jarring. I tried to make those as smooth as possible. But I just taught myself how to produce a podcast last week. So I'm still a rookie. Anyway, with all that said, that's all the disclaimers I think that you need for this podcast. So I want to bring in Jared because that's the important part. And so, as promised, Jared Dubin joins us, the host of Locked On Knicks, to talk a little bit about Langston Galloway. Jared, thanks for being here.
No problem, man. Thank you for having me.
So tell me a little bit about just the impression people have there of Langston Galloway. When I say Langston Galloway is leaving the Knicks for the Pelicans, what's New York losing? What's New Orleans going to get?
They're definitely – the first thing that comes to mind for me is they're getting someone that works extremely hard, especially on defense. You know, he will up inside his man. He'll slide his feet. He'll work as hard as possible to make things as hard as possible for the guy that he's guarding. And he can do that against point guards, and he can do it against, you know, certain sized off-ball, you know, shooting guard types. You know, as long as they're not like 6'7" type, 6'8" guys, like he's not going to go out and guard Kyle Korver. But if you're asking him to guard like a 6'4", 6'5" shooting guard, you know, he can acquit himself fairly well while doing that. You know, he's not necessarily a point guard, but you can have him run your offense if you need somebody to be, you know, sort of a backup ball handler. He's more of, you know, bring the ball up the floor, get the offense moving, move around, make cuts and spot up type than somebody who's going to be like, you know, a real pick and roll ball handler and hitting the guy on the roll and making plays going toward the basket, more of like a caretaker point guard type. And that's probably better playing with another ball handler in the backcourt, but he can do that in a pinch as well. You know, the overall impression I have is just that he works extremely hard on both ends, and it makes him a very likable player to watch.
It's so funny because I've done a couple of these podcasts, and it was really obvious what the Pelicans were looking for going into the offseason. It was really clear they were looking for guys who could play defense on the wing. They wanted good locker room guys. They wanted energy guys and guys who put in the work and all that kind of stuff. I think there was a sense that effort was an issue last year. It sounds like he fits very much into this mode of what they've been looking for.
Yeah, oh, definitely. Like, if you're looking for someone that brings energy and pushes pace and works hard and is good in the locker room, That's definitely an apt description for Galloway, you know, especially in the locker room. All of those guys, you know, you could tell that they liked him a lot. And he was one of the few guys that, and this is, you know, nerdy stuff for writers, but he was always in the locker room before games. And as long as you approached him after he finished his foam rolls, he would be willing to talk about anything you wanted for basically as long as you wanted. And, you know, very openly, which, you know, is somewhat different for the culture in New York, because guys are a little bit wary of saying, you know, quote unquote, the wrong thing.
Sure.
But, you know, he would speak his mind and tell you exactly what he was thinking about any issues. And he was willing to talk not just stuff about like, oh, how did it feel to get this win, things like that, but, you know, talk actual basketball and to talk non-basketball stuff, too.
What about in terms of I think you sort of touched on this a little bit, but in terms of just how well he gets along with guys there, it's obviously it's a different kind of place in New York. There's so much pressure. What's the locker room like there, and what's he like in that locker room?
The locker room before games is almost completely barren because, you know, as you know from covering teams, players only have to talk before the game either at shoot around or in the locker room.
Right.
They don't have to do both. Almost every Knick talks at shoot around rather than in the locker room. So very often it would be just Galloway in there sitting around answering questions. You know, a couple of years ago, Cole Aldrich would be in there all the time. There were guys like Aaron Aflalo would come in to change from, you know, his shooting shirt into his jersey. And if you caught him in that time while he was grabbing his jersey, you could talk to him. If you caught Lance Thomas before Chapel, you could talk to him. Derek Williams would sometimes be in there, and you could talk to him. There were a couple other guys that came in and out. Robin Lopez would be in there sometimes, Kylo Quinn, Kevin Serafin, Calderon, but not all the time. Right. Galloway was in there every single game before the game. And like I said, very open to talking to whoever about pretty much anything. And I mean, you could tell that the guys got along with him well, too, you know, especially the younger guys on the team that, you know, they all would do a lot of things together off the court. Galloway, Jaren Grant, Porzingis, Kylo Quinn fell in with that crew, too. They would go to, like, Liberty games together. They would go to Westchester Knicks games together. You know, you would see them all the time.
Last year, 14-15, his numbers are really pretty good, and he got a bunch of starts. I know the Knicks were shorthanded. I know that was not a good Knicks team. How much of that was a product of just what was around? And we saw some of that in New Orleans this year that, you know, somebody's got to score on a team that just doesn't have all its players. How much of it was that? How much of that was real, genuine promise?
It's a combination of both. You know, last year with a little bit less opportunity, obviously, his counting stats and stuff like that were not quite the same. But last year, he actually started off the season playing way better than he did even the year before, both offensively and defensively. He was shooting like close to 50% from three for almost 2.5 months. Then shot, you know, a more respectable percentage for like a month and a half or so. And then down the stretch of the season, really just couldn't hit anything. Sort of seemed like he ran out of steam a little bit, especially as guys started getting injured and he started taking on a little bit more on-ball responsibility as guys like Jaren Grant pretty much stopped playing once Kurt Rambis took over. So I think that, you know, that was a little bit of a clue into what the best way to use him is sort of as a secondary ball handler and spot up shooter who you can sick on, you know, whoever the lead ball handler in the backcourt. I think if he's playing in that role, that makes a lot more sense for him. And, you know, even though he might not put up huge numbers in lower opportunity minutes, you know, he will do what he does well, very well, if that's what his role is limited to.
You know, this is a little bit of a nebulous idea, and I don't know how much you know, but if the numbers had worked out, would they like to have had him still in New York? Would they like to have kept him around? I know they made so many changes. Is he a guy they would have liked to have had be a part of this?
Yeah, I think so. It seems strange to me that, because that is a thing that, you know, I had heard and other people had heard, and that was reported pretty widely, that even after they rescinded his qualifying offer, that they wanted to bring him back. And if that was true, I don't see why they couldn't have, because they only came up a few $100,000 short of being able to keep his qualifying offer on the books. I don't see why they couldn't have made the numbers work elsewhere.
I've never really talked to him, maybe briefly in passing when he came through this year, and I don't know if this is something you would have ever talked to him about, but he is from Baton Rouge. It's right down the road. Any sense of whether that meant something to him in terms of, you know, did when they went to New Orleans for any games, did he ever talk about that as a thing that had any significance?
I was not at the road game in New Orleans. I don't travel with the team because, you know, I do national coverage and I just do it by going to games in New York and don't really travel all that much. I remember when they did play down there were a couple of like stories about it, I think in the posts and the news possibly. But I don't personally know how he feels about New Orleans. I just can't speak to that.
Sure. Yeah. I just didn't know if it was something that had come up before a game or something along those lines, you know, like, oh, you're going on a trip to New Orleans. I know he obviously has ties. He's close to people in Baton Rouge. This is a, you know, kind of an interesting thing. What kind of, you've talked about what he's best suited to do. If you can get him into that role and say he's playing some with a guy like Jrue Holiday, or if they have, you know, they brought in Etuan Moore, who's a guy who can handle the ball some, what kind of impact do you think he can have on a team if you do sort of manage those expectations, I guess?
I think he can be a very capable bench player. Like if he's your fourth guard, I think that's terrific. If he's your third guard, that's okay, but not ideal, I would say. You know, seventh, eighth man type that, you know, will play quality minutes for you for 15, 20 minutes a night if you need him to. And, you know, you can give him more than that on nights when he's really going. And there are some nights where he's hitting really well from three and really getting into his man defensively. And he can deal with extended minutes on those nights. On the nights when it's not there, you know, you're not going to want to play him nearly that much. But I think he's, you know, a very capable, you know, rotation piece is what I would say. Like, I'm not expecting him to be the best guy on anybody's bench, but, you know, he definitely has a place as a rotation player, role player in the league to me.
Great. Hey, Jared, I know you got to run. I thank you so much for doing this. I really appreciate it. I think good insight on a guy who, even though he's a local, I think a lot of people don't know a ton about as an NBA player. So I really appreciate it.
Yeah, it's no problem, man. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
So that was Jared Dubin, the host of Locked On Knicks, and I really appreciate him doing that. I did think that was great insight. And there was one more disclaimer I should have given you before that interview, which is when I talked to Jared, I really had not talked to Langston Galloway more than in passing. And then later on, I had a phone conversation with him, which you heard a clip of. So that was probably a little confusing. That's my bad. Things are happening out of order sometimes. News breaks. What are you going to do? The podcast this week, a little bit about what the plan is for Thursday and Friday. This obviously is Thursday's episode. Thursday is a very long travel day for me. I'm flying to Las Vegas. The Pelicans are also going to practice in the evening in Vegas. So I'm not going to have time to record a podcast for Friday. So I already went ahead and recorded one. Scott Agnes, who is a podcast host and works in radio and works for a website and does a lot of reporting about the Pacers, is going to join me to talk about Solomon Hill. That's a little bit shorter podcast, but that'll be up and ready to go on Friday. Just understanding that if there is news on Thursday or Friday morning, that won't be reflected in that Friday podcast. I will include that as a disclaimer at the beginning of that podcast as well. So I'm about disclaimered out, or at least I will be by the end of the week. That'll be all the podcasts for this week. Probably nothing over the weekend unless there's some huge news over the weekend that I need to deal with off Summer League. Otherwise, probably back to the podcast grind on Monday. Hope to have some guests from out in Summer League. We got a ton of stuff to talk about. They're actually going to start playing games now. Probably will be some important Pelicans staff out there in Las Vegas. Hope to get to catch up with some of them. So we'll have a whole bunch of topics to talk about, and I will be here doing that. I hope you will be too.
Napa know-how. It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.